last thing that we commented on was the reason, according to the Rambam, Rambam's sheet is pretty clear that there's no need to put sirtut on tefillin. That's what we said from the sheet of Rambam. And if that's the case, we were bothered by, why is it that at least you should require sirtut on three words, midin Reb Yitzchak? At least from the din of Reb Yitzchak, we should require three words. That was a difficulty we had on the Rambam. So we gave different terutzim for that. We had a Brisker Rav's terutz, that when it comes to tefillin, it's not a halach of kisvei hakodesh, just a din of ksiva by tefillin, and therefore only kisvei hakodesh requires what? Only kisvei hakodesh that you can use the sefer and read from it. That requires sirtut. But by tefillin, you're not going to use it and read from it. You use the tefillin. As Yitzi and Yitzi were asking me, what's the pshat in the Brisker? Brisker Rav is saying that the halach of ksav by tefillin is not a din of kisvei hakodesh. You're not reading from the parshas. They're boxed in. You don't see them. The meila, there's no requirement to have halois ksiva. The meila, you don't need sirtut by tefillin. That was one pshat that we had said. Pshat in the Rambam. So we ended shir with the following, and that is that it could very well be, and this is what I wanted to begin with, a Ran in Megillah. The Ran in Megillah points out the following chiddush, that it could be that the whole din of sirtu, the Ran writes on Daf Tet Zion, and Rav Zhulti quotes this in the Sefer, is only by things where you read from, where there are nitan likros bo. Only by things where there are nitan likros bo, there is Allah, bless you, Seth, of sirtu. Only things that you read from. This is the chiddush of the Ran and Meseches Megillah. And the truth is, mezuzah, you could read from, you could take it down, you could look at it, and therefore, tefillin, which you never look at, there is no halacha of sirtu. And that is why the Rambam says tefillin does not need sirtut at all. And therefore, we can answer that kasha. How can the Rambam say tefillin doesn't need sirtut? Shouldn't you need sirtut midin of Reb Yitzchak? That every three words that you write, you have to put down as sirtut? What's the answer to that kasha? The answer to that kasha is as follows. That the halacha that Reb Yitzchak says you need three words to have sirtut is only if it's nitan likros bo, if you're going to read from it. But if you're not going to read from it, there is no halach of what? There is no halach of sirtu. And therefore you can utilize the Ran in Megillah and say that's the Bir Adover in the Shittas HaRambam, where the Rambam writes, Beferish Lamaisa, that there is no din of sirtu. The Bir being is because maybe the Pshat is like the Ran in Megillah. You only need sirtu on something that's nitan likros bo. And therefore Megillah Sota, let's point out, therefore Megillah Sota, which the Yushalmi writes in the second Perek of Sota, Halachic Beis, Perek Beis, Halachic Beis, that a Megillah Sota is not Metame Yadayim. It's not considered to be Kisvei HaKodesh, because it's L'mechika Nitna. You're going to erase it. So Megillah Sota, there is no requirement to do Sirtut Mitoris Kisvei HaKodesh. You're not going to read from it, it's going to get erased. And therefore the Halacha is that since you're not going to read from it, the whole reason why you would need Megillah, the whole reason why you need sirtut by Megillah Sota is midin what? Is midin what? Not midin kisvei hakodesh, but midin what? As we said yesterday, midin what? Sefer, excellent. And that's Taisus Sofek in Maseches Sota. Maybe you could do the sirtut afterwards. Do you need the shame sefer? In the beginning, the kosova halos b'sefer. Maybe you need the halos shem sefer before you write anything. And therefore you have to do the sirtu before. Oh no, maybe it's just a din in the sefer. If it's just a din in the sefer, you can do it afterwards. So this is the first, I want you to get this first mahalach here. That's another beer in the Rambam why sirtu will not need tefillin at all. Because the Rambam holds like this Ran and Megillah. Sirtu's only needed on something that nitan likros bo. And that answers the kasha. How could the Rambam say, oh, you don't need sirtut on tefillin? Don't you need to meet din Reb Yitzchak? No, the din Reb Yitzchak is only if it's nitan likros bo. Tefillin is never nitan likros bo. It's boxed in. It's mechusa b'or. Megillah Sota also is erased. It's not Nitan Likras Bo. That's the reason why Tosfos has a suffix. Maybe you can do it afterwards, because the only reason why he needs to be Din Sefer. And the only reason why you would need to do it before it is because maybe it didn't need the Din Sefer before it's written. This is the pshat maybe you could suggest in the Bir in the Rambam. Okay. Now let's just take this one step further, please. Okay. Our Tosfos, as Moshe read very nicely yesterday, our Tosfos seems to say, Poshup Shat, that if you do put Sirtut in Tfillin, what did Tosfos call you, Moshe? If you put Sirtut on Tfillin? A hedge. Correct. So let me ask you, if you do it though, would that passel your Tfillin? So it's Mashma from Tosfos that you're called a hedjot. A hedjot is a critique, a commoner you're called. But it's mashma from Tosfos. If you did it, Alan, it would not passel your tefillin. It's a bad thing. You're a hedjet. No one wants to be called a hedjet. But the bottom line is that if you did it, it would not passel your tefillin. Tosfos says it's no regilus lasarte. There's no, people don't have the habit to do it. But if you did it, it wouldn't passel. Tosfos and Sota, however, argues. On Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, Tosfos and Sota writes, Tosfos Sota writes that if you do sirtut on the tefillin, it disqualifies your tefillin and it passes your tefillin. So we have a machlokes between our Tosfos and Tosfos Sota. And Tosfos said, what's it based on? He says, there's a halacha l'moshe misinai that it's usher to misarte tefillin. Imagine that. He says, there's a halacha l'moshe misinai out there that says it's usher to be misarte tefillin. Amazing chiddush. That's what Tosfos writes in Sota. Lefizeh, the whole din of Reb Yitzchak doesn't get off the ground. Because what do we say? Reb Yitzchak, Jesse, you should do sirtut on your tefillin, you did Reb Yitzchak. What's the answer? There's a halacha l'moshe misinai that trumps Reb Yitzchak and says, by tefillin, it's usher to do it. So that's a tremendous chiddush we're saying. So machloikis tin our Tosfos, Tosfos Sota, is that if you would do sirtut on tefillin, would it passel it? Our Tosfos says no. Tosfos in Sota says it would passel it. Where does he come off saying it's possible? Because he has a halacha l'moshe misinai that it would be possible. And if you say like that, Tosfos Sota, the whole cash of Reb Yitzchak doesn't start. You should do sirtut. No, there's a special halacha l'moshe misinai by tefillin that you cannot do sirtut. And if you did it, it would possible. Ve'emison, the Ramban, and Zev, you were showing me this morning, this Ramban, and the Ritva point out here in Daf Vav Amud Beis, that the truth of the matter is, chas v'sholom, says the Ramban. Remember, Zev, you showed me that line. Chas v'sholom, says the Ramban, that there's a halacha l'moshe misinai out there that you cannot be misarte tefillin. The Ramban writes, there is no such thing. The Ramban writes, there is no such halacha l'moshe misinai that you can't be misarte tefillin. Why? Because it's not found anywhere in Shas. He says, the only thing that's written in the Gemara is that, this is what he wants to say, is that there's a halacha l'moshe misinai that there's no chiyuv to be misarte tefillin. And I would have thought there would have been from the din of mezuzah. Tefillin is much more chamor. So if mezuzah requires, what does the Gemara say black on white in Shas and Menachos? Mezuzah requires sirtut halacha l'moshe misinai. Right, Michael? The Gemara writes black on white. In Menachos, Taf Lamed Beis Menachos. So I would have thought tefillin, which is more kadosh than mezuzah, why is tefillin more kadosh than mezuzah? So I said yesterday from the Mishnah Brura, I want you to get that down. I didn't quote the Mishnah Brura. Mechaber paskins, if you only have enough money to buy tefillin or mezuzah, you should buy the tefillin because it's a chovas aguf. So I said yesterday, you see the tefillin's more kadosh because it's on your body. Rashi Menachos says a different svara, get it down, on Lamed Beis Menachos, because he says tefillin has arba partios, mezuzah does not. That's the Rashi writes that tefillin is more kadosh. So obviously a Sefer Torah is more kadosh than mezuzah, Sefer Torah has multiple partios. That's what Rashi writes. Okay, so let's just get that down. Yesterday we mentioned a svara that we from the Mishnah Brura in that context of you if you only have enough money. But Rashi Menachos says because you have more parshias, tefillin has more parshias. If the Torah has more parshias, it's more kadosh. But the bottom line is, says the Ramban says this chiddush lemaisa that I would have thought that tefillin requires sirtut halacha l'moshe misinai like mezuzah because tefillin is more kadosh for the reasons we just gave. Either it's on your body or like Rashi Menachos says or arba parshios. So I would have thought tefillin has more what? tefillin, which is more chomer than mezuzah, just like mezuzah requires what? Sirtut. So too tefillin should require sirtut. What's the halacha of Moshe Mesinai tell me? That there's no chiyuv to be misartate. So let's get that down. The Rabban and the Ritva are stressing and emphasizing there is no such din. Tosfos says in Sota, there's a halacha of Moshe Mesinai that it's usur to be misartate tefillin. Rabban and Ritva say chas v'shalom. The Gemara never says that anywhere in Shas. All the Gemara says in Shas is that there's a halacha of Moshe Mesinai that mezuzah requires sirtut, tefillin does not. That's all the Gemara says. The Gemara never says that it's usur. And the truth is, that's why I wanted you to see the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef, as you showed me this morning, the Beis Yosef in Siman Lamed Beis, in Or HaChaim, in Hilchos Tefillin, quotes the Machloikis, Dibur HaMaskel Vein Sarech, in Poskim. Rabbeinu Simcha in the Baal Iter, Pasel. If you do Sirtut on Tefillin, it passels your Tefillin. It's Mamish HaMachloikis. That's why I wanted you to see that Beis Yosef. The Rabbeinu Simcha and the Baal Iter say it's possible. They hold that there's a halacha l'moshe Mesinai, you're not allowed to do it. Like who? Like Tosfos and Sota. Excellent. And the Mordechai and the Smak and the Gosmamonios and the Agur, they all write it does not pass your tefillin. Not at all. It doesn't pass your tefillin. Because who are they echoing? Who are they echoing that Shita? The Ramban and who else? And the Ritva. Correct. Now, just out pisvara, let me ask you, based on what we learned yesterday in Lomdus, why do you think Sirtut would passel tefillin? Even though we don't paskin like it, I don't think we paskin like it. The Beis Yosef asks, I don't understand, why would it passel? Beis Yosef asked that. You saw that, Daniel? He asks, he does out pisvara, why would it passel? And he leaves it there. So you get the impression, halacha l'maisa, would not passel the tefillin. But what would be the svara in the sheet that it passels it? Go ahead, Michael. Correct. So what were the two dinim that we said in Sirtu? One is that it's a din in the Hechsher Ksiva, and number two, it's a din in the what? In the Sefer. Exactly. You know what might happen when you put Sirtu on Tefillin? Maybe it transforms it into a Sefer. And is a Tefillin so, supposed to be a Sefer? No. And therefore, once you put the Sirtu in the Tefillin, you've transformed it into a Sefer. Tefillin's not supposed to be a Sefer. Maybe that's the svara, says Rav David Parvarsky, Zechatzadik Lebroche, in the Pshat, in the Rishonim, that say Sirtut and Tefillin would passel. Because it makes it into a Sefer, and a Tefillin's not supposed to be a Sefer. Okay, even though we don't paskin like it, but Lamaisa, we have to always understand the svara as we say, Lamaisa, what the lumdus is. Okay, fine. That's the second point, Mahalik, that we wanted to get now. Okay, first one was the beer in the tefillin about why you would not need it, Lamaisa, because it didn't kiss your kosher. The second one was, the second mahalach was we were just masbir about would it be usher to do. Okay, now I want to now focus on third mahalach, is what we said we would do right now, yesterday, and that is this concept that Tosfos quotes, that if you don't have to do something, namely tefillin, and Sefer Torah does not need Sirtut, and if you do it, you're called a hedjot. Okay? If you do it, you're called a hedjot. That's what Tosfos says, a big Yiddish. We learned that Rabbeinu Tam said you have to what? You have to make it on one line on the top, or Tosfos Sota said four lines, but to do it in every line on the Sefer Torah and the Tefillin, as Yitzi pointed out, that's Tosfos Shita. He said Sefer Torah and Tefillin, we mentioned in Shir Yeshir Rashi Menachos. But Tosfos Shita clearly is that you don't need Sirtut on every line by Tefillin and Sefer Torah. And Moshe, as you read so nicely yesterday, if you do it, you're called a hedjit. Okay. What does that mean? Kol Adam Shu Pater Bedover V'Osa Dover Nikra Hedjo? Ask the Magen of Rom. What is the whole world of Chumras all about then? What on earth is the whole world of Chumras all about? If you're potter for something, you do it, it says you're called a hedjot, a commoner? That's a very strong critique. What about chumras, right? The whole world of chumras, the Magen Avraham, Siman Lamed Beis, Sifkot Ches, Be'emes. What is the pshat? We find many times chumras that people are machmer on themselves, and we don't call them hedjotos. What's the pshat? Oh, so I give you a Me'iri in Baba Kama. The Me'iri in Baba Kama, Daf Pei Zayin, Amar Aleph, Moshe found it. I hope you were able to find it, to see it. There is a discussing there about Eved, Isha. We know that Eved, Canaanian, and Isha are, of course, Jewish, but they're not chayv in mitzvahs like a Jewish man. They're potter from mitzvahs esei, shebizman grama. Okay, so in that discussion, the Miri has an added line. And he quotes this din. And he says, I want you to know something. The only time you're called a hedyot is when you get nothing out of it in ruchnius. If you're just stam doing it for no reason at all, I don't know, to make yourself look good, or whatever the case might be, you get nothing out of it at all, then he says you're a hedyot. But if you get something out of it in ruchnius, then it's fine. This is what the Miri writes. I'll give you his lashon. He says, Nick, you're a hedyot, and oil of a davar shino, seichel, o musr. Something makes sense comes out of it, or musr, or silsil. Silsil means like a hider of your mitzvah, or hachna alev, you become more humble. Klomar shein toelis l'ruchnius. You're called a hedyot when there's no purpose in the ruchnius you get out of it. You get nothing out of it. Then you're called a hedyot. If you get anything out of it, then it's a positive thing. Now, this din is found most famously in the following case. We know that there's a p'tur of mitztayer in sukkah. If it's too cold out, if it's raining, you're potter from sitting in sukkah. It's a gemara in Masechet Sukkah. That mitztayer is potter in sukkah. Rava says, teishu ke'en deduru. Okay? You live in the sukkah like you live in your home. If you be living in tsar, you're potter from sukkah. Fine. The Ramah in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Sukkah writes, Simin Tov Reish Lamed Tes Sif Zayin, that if rain is falling on sukkahs, you are potter from sitting in the sukkah. And the Ramah writes, V'chol ha-potter min ha-sukkah v'ein ha-yotzu misham eino mekabel schar v'eino ele hedyos. Anyone who's potter from a sukkah and doesn't leave the sukkah does not get any reward, and you're called a hedyot. Exactly our din. Oh. So the Bir Aloche, the Chofetz Chaim, on that Ramah, quotes in the name of the Ola Shmuel, when are you called, Lamaisa, a hedyot? When you're doing an Isser. When are you called a hedyot? Let's get it. When you're doing an Isser. What's the Isser? If you sit in the sukkah, you're going to be cold. You're going to get sick. You're being mitzayer yourself. On Yontif, you're supposed to have simcha. You're supposed to have oneg. You're doing an Isser by being mitzayer yourself on Yontif. You're being mitzayer. You're not fulfilling covet and oneg Yontif. You're not allowed to be mitzayer on Yontif. So therefore, says the Bir Halacha, b'shem the Ola Shmuel, that the definition of hedyot is when you're doing an Isser. When you're doing something wrong. And that's exactly what you're doing wrong. You're being mitzayer yourself. On Yontif. But if you're not doing any Isser, then a Chumrah is fine. If you're not doing any Isser, then a Chumrah is fine. Okay? Now, I want to ask you, Lefiar Taisus, okay? Lefiar Taisus. What would you say to plug it into our Taisus? You don't have to do Sirtit at all on Tefillin. And when you do it, Tosus calls you a hedyot. Are you doing any Isser? Push-up shot, you're not doing any Isser at all. I want you to get down that this Bir Halacha B'Shem the Ola Shmuel, I believe, is against our Taisus. Taisus still calls you a hedyot, even though you're not doing anything wrong. And you can't tell me it's going to disqualify your tefillin, because we said that Shitas Tosos was that it doesn't disqualify the tefillin. And even if it would, in theory, is that an Isser? Maybe it is. Maybe it'd be Usser to what? To disqualify something that's a kosher chefsa for a mitzvah. Okay. But the truth of the matter is Taisus doesn't hold it's possible. Tosos holds it doesn't become possible. So what we're pointing out is that this Taisus, I believe, is against that Ola Shmuel. Taisus still calls you a hedyot, even though you're not doing a what? Even though you're not doing an Isser. You're not doing an Isser. Despite that, he calls you a hedyot. Moreover, does anyone say you're allowed to do it? Does anyone say you're allowed to do sirtut on tefillin against our Taisus? Yes. The Tur in Simon Lamed Beis writes that if you want to do sirtut on tefillin, harashus biyado. And guess what the Beis Yosef asks on the Tur? It's against what? Against our Taisus. So you know what he answers? He answers like this. I want you to get this. The Tur answers like the Sefer HaTrumah, who says, you're not called a hedyot
if you're doing the sirtan and the tefillin so that you'll write neatly. In other words, the only time you're called what? A hedyot is because if you're doing it for a reason, the Torah says b'shem the sefer trumas, you're not doing anything wrong. In other words, if you're doing it in order to write neatly, it's fine. Velo mishum chumra. And it's not because of a chumra al davar shel yachol lavo lidei iser. In other words, the Sefer HaTrumah writes that what? That it's fine. You're not called a hedyot if you do it to write neatly. Because there's a reason behind it, Lamaisa. There's a reason behind it. It's not because of a chumra that you might... Lo mishum chumra al davar shel yachol lavo lidei iser. What do we say so far, the definitions of what hedyot is? First is the miri if you get nothing out of it. What's the second definition? That you might come to be over an Isser. You might become no Isser. We said, what Isser is there? Our Tosis calls you headed, even though you're not doing an Isser. Right? And what does the Torah say? You're allowed to do it. Why? Because you want to be able to write neatly. You want to be able to write neatly. So the Tosis is very, very bechidish here, Lamaisa. It's a very bechidish. And the Beis Yosef explains, the Yushami only calls you a hedget when you do it, but there a chumra. But here you're not doing it, but there a chumra. You're doing it in order to write neatly. Moshe, continue the next line of the Tosis. Miu, umiu, where we left off yesterday. Umiu. Go ahead. If the sofer can't write well, below sirtut. Let me ask you, according to Tosis, are you going to be called a hedyot in that case? Yes or no? You tell me. Are you going to be called a hedyot when you need it to write neatly? Because of the, it's a mitzvah, hiddur mitzvah, which we have to discuss, Bez Hashem, hiddur mitzvah. So I'm saying the Tosfos is saying exactly like the Torah says, b'shem the what? B'shem the Sefer HaTrumah. That if you're doing it to write neatly, it's not a problem, Lamaisa. It's not a problem. What Tosfos means is when you're called a hedyot, is when you're getting nothing out of it like the Me'iri, or what? There's no reason to do it. What about number two things. Number one, you get nothing out of it. And number two, you're not saving yourself from being over an Isser. That's when Tosis calls you a hedget. But if you're doing it to write neatly, that's fine. And that's exactly what the Torah says. When you want to, you can. If you need to write, that the Torah is holding like the Sefer HaTrumah. That's the chiddush that we want to bring out.
Both criteria? Or just, you consider a hedget if you...
No, you're going to be a hedget. Either you get nothing out of it, right? Or number two, is that it's not going to become what? Or there's no Isser that you're scared of, and that's why you're doing it. So Yossi asks me, for either of those reasons, will you be called a hedyot? As long as you have either or, you won't be called a hedyot. If you have neither, then you're a hedyot. In our case, you have neither, right? Why are you doing it, Lamaisa? Why are you doing it? Are you getting any ruchnius out of it? Probably not. What kind of ruchnius out of it? What's number two? Number two is, what kind of Isser is? There's no Isser. The only reason why it would be okay is to write neatly, which is a fulfillment of the mitzvah, hiddur mitzvah. But I'm saying if the sofer is a tremendous writer, and Michael told me this morning is a cipher, right? If you're a sofer that's a very good writer, why do you need to do it? Let's say he would be perfect without it, Yossi. It would be usser. It would be usser. Not usser, I shouldn't say, but you'd be called a hedyot. Okay? You follow what I'm saying? So when the Torah says you're allowed to do it, that's if a fellow's doing it because he wants to write neater. So I'm just saying, if you don't have any of those reasons, it wouldn't be good. Now, one sec. Where is the mucker of this din? Where is this mucker of this din? Anyone who's potter from something and does something is called a hedyot. Where's the mucker? The mucker is Yerushalmi. The mucker is Yerushalmi. The Mishnah writes in Maseches Shabbos on Daf Tesim and Aleph. You're not allowed to sit in front of a barber, samach lemincha. You're not allowed to sit in front of a barber or eat lunch, samach lemincha. And what does the Mishnah say? Vim hischil, if you started, ein mafsikin. You don't have to stop your haircut. You don't have to stop eating. Okay? You got it? You're not allowed to sit by a barber or start lunch before mincha, samach lemincha. Vim hischil, but if you started, ein mafsikin. You don't have to stop. So the Yerushalmi there in Maseches Shabbos quotes a story with Rav Meisha and Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak that were eating, and Zman Tfila came. They were having lunch, and the Zman Tfila came, and Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak stopped eating. And Rav Meisha said, what do you stop eating for? Why'd you stop eating? We learned him, Hiskelein Mafsik. And it says, V'tani Chizkiyah, Misha Pater V'osa Nikra Hedjo. Someone who's Pater and does something is called a what? It's called a Hedjo. So what you're doing is wrong. You should continue lunch. So the Madonna Yom Tif asks the following. It's on Hilchos Sefer Torah. The Rush wrote a Hilchos Sefer Torah in the back of Menachos. In Simon Zion Oz Kimmel. The Madonna Yom Tif asks, I don't understand. What kind of Isser is there? Why does he call him a Hedjo? What Isser is there by him being mafsik to eat and to go daven? According to the Shita that we said in the Ola Shmuel, that it's only when there's a what? When there's a sad Isser, what kind of Isser is there? What's the Isser of stopping to eat to go daven? You know what the Isser is? Maybe you won't bench. Maybe you won't be part of the Zimun. Maybe you won't bench. Maybe you won't be part of the Zimun. And therefore, that's the Svara you're called a Hedjot because it's a Tzad Isser. So I'm saying, Lamaisa, this Yushalmi, I want you to get it. This Yushalmi seems to be the basis for that second reasoning that Yossi was asking before, that the real reason why you're called a Hedjot, anytime you're called a Hedjot, is because you're risking something. You might be over an Isser. By you taking the Chumrah on yourself, you might be risking an Isser. Against the Meiri that said the reason why you're called a Hedjot is because you're getting what? Nothing out of it. There are two basic reasons why you'd be called a Hedjot. Either you're getting nothing out of it, Ruchnius, or because it's a Tzad Isser Shabbat. And here we're pointing out, Lamaisa, the reason is the Poshup Shad is that here, Lamaisa, the reason that fits Tosas well, why you're called a Hedjot, because there's no Tzad Isser, and you're getting nothing out of it, Pashas. But if you need it because you need to what? Write neatly, Zekei Levan Veu in fulfillment of Hitzer, then it's fine, you're not called a Hedjot. I'm just saying Yushalmi is a reasoning against the Meiri. Its basis isn't Yushalmi. So that's the Chiddush, just the third Mahalik we want to point out, Alan, focusing on what this concept, what it's called the Hedjot. Yes, Yitzi.
So according to Yushalmi, that if a person stopped his lunch, benched with a Zimun, and then went to go to Mincha, that would be okay? Because now there's no Isser.
That's correct. Then he did nothing wrong. That's correct. It's not called a Hedjot. If he stopped and benched, fine, did his Zimun. Absolutely correct. Okay, that's the Chiddush that we want to bring out here. Okay, fine. Fighter, now let's move on. Fourth Mahalach. Okay. Back into the Taisus, Lamaisa. Taisus just says, Eke Levande. You know what? Before we go weiter in the Taisus, let's focus now in the fourth Mahalach on the Hiddur Mitzvah. Zeke Levande. Okay? Let's speak about Zeke Levande. Hiddur Mitzvah before we go weiter into the Taisus. We were masber on Sunday that tefillin doesn't need sirtu because it has to visually be seen to fulfill hiddur mitzvah, Rashi and Yuma. That's where Rav Zolti points out in another shtickle Torah in Hilchos Chanukah. I want to just focus for a few minutes on hiddur mitzvah, that we should have a hasber in hiddur mitzvah. There are two basic approaches to the concept of hiddur mitzvah. What are the two basic approaches to the concept of hiddur mitzvah in Lomdus? Someone tell me the two possibilities. What would be the two possibilities in Hiddur Mitzvah? Go ahead, Chaim.
So, to see what you're using, or just for the chesed to be more beautiful?
Well, actually, let me say it like this. What are the two possibilities how Hiddur Mitzvah would relate to the Ikar Mitzvah? How would you say it in one of two ways? Go ahead, Moshe, that what? How does it relate exactly? Yossi, go ahead.
Are you just adding something or are you making it a new thing?
Exactly. In other words, does the Hiddur Mitzvah becoming integrated to the Ikar Mitzvah? Qualitatively, the Ikar Mitzvah becomes better. Or do you say no, like Yossi said? It's a din chadosh that there's a requirement to be mahadir mitzvahs, to beautify mitzvahs. When we talk about Hiddur Mitzvah, does it become a chelik, shela mitzvah? Does it become a mamish, a chelik of the mitzvah? Or do you say no, that it's a din chadash, and it does not become integrated at all? This is a very important shayla that has many, many ramifications regarding hiddur mitzvah. Okay? Is the concept, maybe this is what you were driving at, Moshe, is the concept of hiddur mitzvah d'oraisa d'rabbanan? We mentioned it quickly on Sunday, if you remember. Okay? Is Hiddur Mitzvah the Yoraisa or the Rabbanon? We mentioned, if you recall, that if it was deraisa, remember we said you got to spend how much? You have to spend $9 milgav. If it was a $6 restaurant, if it was the rabban, you have to spend $8. This shiloh of whether hinder mitzvah is deraisa the rabbanon is a beferish machlokes. Okay, I want to give you the shita lemaisa and try to be masbir what this is all about. The Beis Yosef, Poshup Shat writes, is following Chiddush. Okay, the Beis Yosef has in Hilchos Lulav, in Simen Tafresh Nun Vav. He claims, and it's nearer from the Ritva 2, in Sukkah Yud Aleph from the Beis, the following, that since Hiddur Mitzvah is the Rabbanon, Lamaisa, Hiddur Mitzvah is the Rabbanon, therefore we could be makel and spend $8. So the sheet is the Beis Yosef, Beferish, and the Ritva in Mesechah Sukkah on Yud Aleph from Beis claims that the whole institution of Hiddur Mitzvah is only Durabanan. Okay? That's the Shita. However, the Chedushe Anshe Shem in Brachas, in the end of the seventh Perek, on Lamed Chesa Menal from the Dapi Arif, writes that Hiddur Mitzvah is Diyaraisa. And it could be told, he says, the Sefer Iyun Belomdis on the Shiloh. Meaning, if Hiddur Mitzvah is in fact a din what? If Hiddur Mitzvah is considered to be a mitzvah midiraisa, then that's a simen that it's considered to be a chelik of the actual mitzvah itself. I have a mitzvah to shake the lulav on the first day of Sukkot. That's diraisa. I have a mitzvah to take a beautiful arba minim. If Hiddur Mitzvah is a chelik of the mitzvah, then it's very mistaber that it would be a din diraisa. If, however, it's a din chadash, it's an independent halacha that the Rabbanan told me, beautify the mitzvah. It's a din d'rabbanan. That would be one very good nafkamina. Another nafkamina would be, very interestingly enough, very possible, would be as follows. There is a halacha that hiddur mitzvah, lemaisa, when it comes to milah, there is a halacha when it comes to milah. So these are the two possibilities. So that's one nafkamina, whether it would be what? D'oraisa or d'rabbanan. There's another possibility. The other possibility is another nafkamina, rather. Second nafkamina. When milah is done on Shabbos, is milah docha Shabbos or not? Yes. If it's milah bismano, the eighth day. There are certain parts of the milah that are called sitzin she'enan ma'akvin. There are certain part of the milah that are part of the milah which are not ma'akiv in the mitzvah. They are not ma'akiv. Now, let's say a person does milah on Shabbos, milah bismano. Are you allowed to do the sitzin ha'makvin, the hiddur mitzvah part? Yes, you are if you continue doing the milah. No problem, l'maisa. You're allowed to do that, l'maisa, if you continue doing the milah and do the hiddur mitzvah. Let's say you stop. You did the ikar milah and you didn't do the extra parts. Are you allowed to go back and do that? No, you're not allowed to. Now, what about during the week? What about during the week? Is there an inyan to go back and what? Do the sitzin shenem akvin or not? Are you allowed to do the sitzin shenem akvin or not? What do you say? During the week, why shouldn't you be able to? So there's a Rashi and the Tur that say, Afilu b'chol lo osim. Afilu b'chol, even on weekday, you don't go back and do the sitzin shenem akvin. Why not? What's the svara behind that? There's no Chil Shabbos. It's a Tuesday. It's a Wednesday. Make the milah look better. Avi?
There would be a hitter.
Right, so that's what I'm asking you. Why not go back and do it? Sits in Shana Makman. I feel the Bechol lo osim. Rashi and Tur. Why on earth would you say not to? Go ahead, Zevi.
It's separate.
So if it's separate, then do it. On the contrary, maybe hitter mitzvah only has a life when what? I would have thought maybe like you, but no, but since hiddur mitzvah only has a life when you're doing the ikar mitzvah, once you divorce the two, it's meaningless.
You wouldn't
But there's no, it's meaningless to do the sitch and shayna makfanan.
Right, you shouldn't do that.
There's no reason to do it. It's not an issue. There's just no reason to do it. So I'm saying this implies the Rashi and the Tur say, like what? Like number one. And the Rambam says, of course you can go back. Because the Rambam views hiddur mitzvah as a what? As a separate din. And therefore, whenever you want to do it, you should be able to. So the Rambam says, yeah, Rashi Tur say, Rambam says, of course, osin. Rambam Stolikin says you can be osin. So that machlekes also hinges upon the mechanics of what hiddur mitzvah is. Is hiddur mitzvah a separate din, or does it become integrated into the ikar mitzvah? Let me just give you two other quick nafkaminas, and then we have to go back into the tesis, okay? Two other quick nafkaminas. In Hilchos Chanukah, there is a halacha that if you have a poor man who has no candles, on the fifth night of Chanukah, how many candles should you give him? He has no money at all to buy any candles. The whole point of more than one candle is hiddur mitzvah, right? Mahajan. Mina mahajan, how many candles do you give him? The Bir Halacha quotes in the name of the Chemed Moshe, you give him one candle. Bir Halacha, B'Shem, Chemed, Moshe, is you give him Nir Echad. You give him one candle. One candle and one candle alone. You're not obligated to subsidize him on the hiddur mitzvah. Only the ikar mitzvah candle. And the Or Sameach argues, the Or Sameach says no. The Or Sameach says that you should give him how much? Five candles. Why? Because the hiddur mitzvah becomes integrated in the ikar mitzvah. And if you don't subsidize him on everything, then his mitzvah won't be fulfilled 100% enhanced. You follow me? That's another nafkamina. Another nafkamina is halacha lemaisa. Let's say you have no shamish. Can you take one candle on the fifth night and light the other candle? According to the Ramah, you can. Madlikin minir lanir. Why? Because the ikar candle, the first candle, is the what? Is the ikar mitzvah candle. The other candles are the hiddur mitzvah. I don't care. It's on the same level. The hiddur mitzvah is part of the ikar mitzvah. No problem. The Ramah says, madlikin minir lanir. And the Ramah, Shari Tshuva quotes a Beis Yehuda. The Shari Tshuva quotes a Beis Yehuda that says no. He says you're not yotze. Why are you not yotze? He says aim on the community in there, which is difficult because the Gemara seemed to say it's okay, but he says aim on the community in there. You tell me why he says you can't. Because the hiddur mitzvah remains separate. You have no right to take the ikar mitzvah candle, which was your ikar mitzvah, and light the extra candles, which are on a lower level, because it's the second din. The Shari Tshuva, the Beis Yehuda, holds like din chadosh. And you cannot take from those candles of light. Let's get all these nafkaminas. And one other nafkamina here, let's get it, is in a situation where, how do you light? Right to left or left to right? How do we do it? We light from left to right. Which candle did you put in? The most, the rightmost. That's what we do. We follow the Mechaber. The Mechaber says that's what you do. You light from left to right. Right? Mi, smol, liyamin. Why? Isn't that candle on the leftmost a hiddur mitzvah candle? Shouldn't you light the ikar one first? The Vilna Gaon says the Mechaber is totally wrong. He says, ein tam vareach. It's unbelievable lushin, the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says, ein tam vareach. Let me read you just the Lashon that he writes. Amazing thing. He says, Ein tam v'reach l'zeh. He writes an amazing chiddush. Okay? The Vilna Gaon says, I'll read it to you, the Lashon. He says, Ein lo tam v'reach. He says, you have to light from right to left. Because the ikar mitzvah candles, the ikar mitzvah, how dare you light the hiddur mitzvah candles first? But if you hold the hiddur mitzvah, it becomes integrated on the same level. So the Gaon says, no, you do the yamin the small. Okay? Oh, that's a fifth nafkamina. Let's just list all these nafkaminas. I want you to get so you understand the two approaches to hiddur mitzvah. One second, Mark. And number 6 and 7, please get them. What's the din? Halacha lemaaseh, Rabbi Kivager has a tshuva. Very, very interesting. Rabbi Kivager has a tshuva in the Madura Tinyana Simen Yud Gimel. Let's say the fifth night of Hanukkah, you light the first 3 candles, for example. You forgot all the brachas, but you haven't lit all 5. Is it too late to say all the brachas or not? So that depends. If hiddur mitzvah is a chelik of the mitzvah, it's not too late. And if you hold that it's separate, then maybe it is too late, because there's a machlokas, the Eliyahu, Rabbah, and the Pri Chodesh. Can you say a bracha on a hiddur mitzvah in general? Right? That's number 1. Number 2, you might say that what? Akshaticha regal min ashuk, right? It lasts the whole window of that mitzvah. And number 3, there is the shita or the or zaruah that says in general, you could say a bracha after you do a mitzvah. We don't hold like that or zaruah. We hold that you have to say a bracha over las yasim. But if you put it all together, it becomes there, says you could be makel and still say the bracha. But I'm saying, Chaim, this also is totally on that shiloh. So I'll write number 6, just the shiloh, the tshuva of Rabbi Kivager. Tshuva show Rabbi Kivager, which you write down, is that you have not said the brachas, but you didn't yet finish lighting. And Rabbi Kivager's psak is you can't say the bracha for those 3 reasons. Number 1 is that maybe you can rely on the Eliyahu Rabbah that says in general you can say a bracha on hiddur. Number 2 is it's at shetichra legam and ashuk. The window of mitzvah hasn't finished. And number 3, you have the words of ruah that says in general you can say a bracha on a mitzvah afterwards. Okay? But I'm saying this shiloh depends upon whether hidden mitzvah is a chelik of the hidden mitzvah. Okay? That's number 6. And lastly, number 7, I want you to get this, okay? If you take a lulav and esrog and you shake it backwards, what's the din? If you take a lulav and esrog and you hold it backwards, are you yotze or not? So the Taz writes in Simon Tuf Reish Nun Aleph Sifkut and Beis, you are not yotze, because it says that all mitzvahs you must fulfill derech gidilason, the way they grow. All mitzvahs you must fulfill them derech gidilason, the way they grow. And therefore, if you hold them backwards, you're not yotze. This is what the Taz writes based on the Gemara and the Sechas Sukkah. He claims that if you held the Arba Minim backwards, you wouldn't be yotze. Okay. However, the Bahag writes from the Otzer HaGaonim, very interestingly, he says, you know why you're not yotze? Guess. If you hold the Arba Minim backwards. Why aren't you yotze? Says the Bahag. It's not hiddur mitzvah. It's a big chiddush. The Bahag says you're not yotze because it's not hiddur mitzvah. Now, why is that difficult? Is hiddur mitzvah ever li'ikuva or not? Is hiddur mitzvah ever, you know what li'ikuva means? Does hiddur mitzvah ever blow up the whole mitzvah to say you're not yotze at all? That's what the Bahag is saying here, no? You're not yotze. How can that be possible? Ron, you follow me? The Bahag is saying the reason why you're not yotze here is because you did it backwards. Eino derech gedilason, and therefore it's not hiddur mitzvah. Where do you find hiddur mitzvah ever what blows up the whole thing? Go ahead, Alan.
Like if you can't do Pursum and Nisa, like in Chanukah, you're like a box up there and no one can ever see.
Okay, that might be different though, Pursum and Nisa. Give me 2 examples. Give me 2 examples, or 1 example, within Sukkah that a lulav that is not hitter is possible. Did anyone learn the 3rd parak of Sukkah? Lulav Ayavish is possible, Mishnah says. A dried out lulav. Why is it possible, Rashi says? Because not hitter. And Tosas jumps on Rashi and says, what do you mean? Hiddur is never li'kuva. The answer is the following. The answer is as follows. There are 2 types of hiddur. I want you to get this. A hiddur on the chefsa and a hiddur on the maisa. Where else does the Gemara say hiddur mitzvah? Moshe, you ask me in Seder. On Yud Aleph and Beis, what does the Gemara say in Sukkah? That you have to do, luv tzarech egid. You have to put the what? You have to put them together, the hadasim and the arabas with the lulav. What's that based on that the concept tzarech egid? What does the Gemara say? Because of what? Hiddur mitzvah. Whatever you don't do it. Are you yotze? Yes. So you see, sometimes hiddur mitzvah is not likuva. What's the answer? When hiddur mitzvah is on the chefsa, it will be likuva. At least by lulav it is. It'll be likuva, it'll be psula. But when there's a hiddur mitzvah on the maisa, how should you shake the arbaminim? How should you shake the arbaminim? Doing them together, if you don't do it, you're still yotze. So if hiddur mitzvah is on the maisa, it's only a lechachila. It's only a lechachila. Okay? It's only a lechachila. So, I have to tell you though, you mean to tell me you should say, Rabbi, anytime you have hiddur mitzvah on the chefsa, it's going to blow up, likuva? That can't be. Why can't that be? No, by lulav we're saying it's a problem, right? But the reason why it's a problem is because there's an eerie quote to Yerushalmi that says, Lo ha-mesim, yehalaluka. You can't praise Hashem with a dead lulav. It's a special din. Think about our Tosos. Let's go back to our Tosos now. What did Tosos say, Moshe Nemiu? That by tefillin he should write it on every line if he needs it to write neatly because of Zeke Levan Neu. And what happens if he doesn't do it? Let's say he writes an unneat tefillin. Would that be Likuva? Yes or no?
No.
No, it would not. So I want to just stress that. You should get that down. Even though we're saying right now the Bahag is learning that hiddur mitzvah is Likuva, if you take your arm aminin and hold him in a backwards way, you're not yotze because it's not hiddur mitzvah. Ain't no hiddur mitzvah. What are you talking about? Hiddur mitzvah is Likuva? We never find the hiddur mitzvah is Likuva. Yes, we do. We find it by a dead lulav, Rashi said, and we find the Bahag saying that if you hold the Arba Minim backwards, you're not Yotze either. So we do find examples of it that it's Likuva. What's the difference? When it's on the Chefsa, it might be Psula. When it's on the Maisa of how to hold the Arba Minim, then it's never going to be Likuva. But we're pointing out, this is what I want you to get down, that even though we dug up two Makoros that say that Hiddur Mitzvah will be Likuva, it's definitely not Likuva here. You can't say that. You can't say if the Sofer wrote an unneat parsha of tefillin that it would be psula. I, Ezekiel Levan Veil? Okay, it's a recommendation. Make it nice. Make it neat. Is it in the chefsa? Yes, it is in the chefsa. You want the chefsa of tefillin to look good, right? You want the chefsa of tefillin to look good. So what do you see from this? You see from this is that the halacha is that in this case, it certainly will not be likuva. So you've got to add that in. We dug up two cases. Okay, they're collector's items. They're collector's items. Rashi says lulav ayavish is possible because of hiddur mitzvah. That's a big chiddush. Because maybe it's a special halacha by hadar. That by arba minim, if it's not hadar, it's bad. And the Bahag had this phenomenal chiddush. That if you hold it backward, it's possible because of hiddur mitzvah. But in general, you can't say every chefsa that's not neat is psula, because we obviously don't say that here. We obviously don't say that here. You're never going to say that if it's not neat, that it's going to be psula. Okay? I want you to get that down. So that's the mahalach we want to bring out here by hiddur mitzvah. You're never going to say that it's going to be psula, going to be likuva. It can't be. And I want to point out one more, let's point out one more point, that our Tosfos argues on that Tosfos in Menachos. Why? Why does our Tosfos argue on that Tosfos in Menachos? Someone tell me. Seth? Tosfos in Menachos says there is no hiddur mitzvah by tefillin because why? No one can see it. And what does our Tosfos say? That if the sofer feels he needs it, he should do it in order to make it neat, because when you make it neat, you do fulfill what? Please get that down as well. You do fulfill hiddur mitzvah. So you see, our Tosfos says you can fulfill hiddur mitzvah even though it won't be what? Even though it won't be seen. That is correct. Please get that. That's another chiddush that we're pointing out with this hiddur mitzvah. There's a tremendous line of chiddush of Tosfos when he points this line out. Two tremendous chiddushes. Number one, it won't be likuva nechefsa. And we went through seven nafkaminas of how to relate hiddur mitzvah in general. But even if you assume that hiddur mitzvah is on the chefsa, we just limit it to those two cases. Here it won't be psula. And number two is, you could fulfill hiddur mitzvah here on this tesis, even if you cannot visually see it. Even though Rashi and Yuma says zezeh, okay, that's Rashi and Yuma, that's tesis menachos. Our tesis doesn't buy it. Okay? That's the chiddush we want to bring out.
Yeah, Mark, real quick, go ahead.
The question on the basic machlok is if it's shell on a chelik of the mitzvah or den chadash.
Yes.
If you're going to say it's a chelik of shell on mitzvah, isn't that not really hit or miss anymore? It's the mitzvah. That's how you're supposed to do the mitzvah.
Okay, but it's but even if you say like number one, it's never going to be likuvim. Even if it's a din d'oraisa.
Right, no, I'm just saying.
I understand that, but it still remains, you're right, it becomes integrated. You're right, it becomes very integrated. But I'm just responding to you that even if you didn't do it beautified, you're not going to be, we're never going to say you're not yotze. You're just yotze 90% of the way. You're not yotze 100%. You're never going to say zero. We dug up two cases. Okay, these lulav yavish and the b'hag's chiddush by backwards is a phenomenal chiddush. No one's going to say, oh, you don't have this. Sefer Torah, you don't have a Sefer Torah. No, you don't have a tefillin. No one's going to say it's Likud. Okay. Yeah, Aaron, go ahead.
Yeah, we said back to the meal on Shabbos.
Yes.
Right, we said that even on Shabbos, if you continue meal and don't stop, you can even cut the tzitzin.
Yes.
So if you're going to say that it's a din chadash, right? How can you say that you're allowed to cut
the because we don't view it as a din chadash, because we view it as all as the process of milu. It's a good question. It's a good kasha.
So then,
we view it though you do it all together. That's okay.
So then if it's hit or mitzvah, then you have to say it's chelik of the mitzvah.
I understand, but when you do it all together, we view it as all one mitzvah of milu. You don't pronounce it. It doesn't become pronounced the hit or mitzvah element. We view it as all one mitzvah.
So it's not so,
it is midin hinder mitzvah, such as shenim akdin, but if the reason why you're allowed to do it on Shabbos, because just like mila is docha Shabbos, the extras also are docha Shabbos. The question is, when you stop the ikar mila, you finish the ikar mila, and you distill it down to only have sitzit shenim akdin, that's the shiloh. That we would never allow you to do on Shabbos. Okay? And it's a good point we were bringing out. I'm just saying, when you do the real ikar mila, we view it as all one maisa mila, even to include the sitzit shenim akdin. You follow me? You'll describe the ikar mila as the mila, the priya, the sitzit shenim akdin. Do it all together, that's fine. Once you stop doing the mila and the priya, then all you're doing is hit or miss act. That's a problem.
I'm saying that sounds like that's exactly what
I'm saying. I'm saying that doesn't, it's a good point we're saying, but it doesn't shed light on it, because the way you view it is you do a whole, the whole mila on Shabbos. And the full mila is aleph to tough, A to Z. Okay? All right, very good. Okay, let's move on now. Okay, let's move on. The question you can ask me, Lenetter, tomorrow. Okay? All right, let's move on now in the Pshat Lamaisa in the Taisis. Okay. Oh. So we pointed out, Lamaisa, from the Taisis. Let's get this. We point out from the Taisis that Taisis suggests that what should you do? If you're a sofer that feels you're not going to write it neatly, what should you do? You should make on every line. You should make in every line a sirtu. Okay, let me ask you the following kasha. If that's the case, doesn't the Gemara earlier in Menachos that we mentioned, Moshe, become difficult? Doesn't it become difficult? What did we say that they were talking about? What was the Gemara there? Elliot, remember you asked me, what was the Gemara we had in Menachos that proved that what? That you don't need sirtu in every line of tefillin. What was the proof? You have a Sefer Torah in the tefillin that became bad. You're not allowed to convert it into a mezuzah because you're lowering the level of Kedusha. Is that correct? Yes? What does that imply? That if you are able to lower the level of Kedusha, would you be able to do it? Yes. How could you be able to do it? Doesn't tefillin require sirtud? Doesn't mezuzah have sirtud in every line and tefillin does not? Right? How could this be done? Right? That's what the Gemara asked in Maseches Menachos. Tefillin does not need sirtud. Right? Tefillin does not need sirtud in every line. Right? The Gemara says in Menachos, Beferish. Tefillin does not need sirtud. And the Gemara asked on that, that what? How can you tell me tefillin doesn't need sirtud? It must be that tefillin does need sirtud. Because what does the Gemara imply? That you could convert tefillin to mezuzah if there would be no problem lowering the Kedusha. You could be able to do it. How could you be able to do it? Must be that tefillin does require sirtud in every line. Wasn't that the Gemara? Nachamo. What did the Gemara say? The Gemara said tefillin doesn't need sirtu. Black on white. What was the Gemara's kasha menachas? That is, say for Torah and tefillin that got bad, you cannot convert it into a mezuzah. Why not? Because you're lowering the level of kedusha, implying that if you could lower the level of kedusha, it would be good. What do you mean it would be good? Tefillin doesn't require sirtu. Mezuzah does. Must be that tefillin does require sirtu. It'll be already. And we discussed yesterday. You can't just write the sirtu afterwards. Correct. So let me ask you a question.
Why can't you just say very simply, once you have this line, Moshe, maybe the Gemara enough to talk about a sofer that doesn't know how to write neatly. And the Gemara's talking about a case where the tefillin needed sirtut in every line because he cannot write neatly. Why don't you just say like that? Once we have this line of the Mihu of Tosfos, why can't you say the Gemara is talking about a case there in Menachos where you're right, tefillin doesn't need sirtut. But maybe if the sofer can't write neatly, he needs it in every line. And that's what the case of the Gemara was talking about. You know, ask that kasha, the Arzu de Beirav, ask this kasha on Tosfos. On the Mihu of Tosfos, Moshe. You follow the kasha? The Arzu de Beirav asks on Tosfos. He says, once you tell me that you can have a sofer write sirtut for every line to make sure it's neat, so therefore the Gemara's Menachos becomes difficult. Maybe the Gemara in Menachos is talking about a case where the sofer doesn't know how to write neatly, and he wrote sirtut on every line, and therefore the tefillin is ready to be converted very easily to mezuzah. That's Tosfos' kasha. That's the Arzu de Beirav's kasha. It's a very strong kasha. Menachem, you follow me? In other words, the Gemara's talking about a very simple case. The sofer doesn't know how to write neatly. He wrote his tefillin sirtut in every line, and therefore it's ready to be converted to mezuzah. Oh, so I want you to get this. Very important. The Rabbeinu Tam answers this in the Sefer HaYashar. The Rabbeinu Tam in Siman Kuf Dalet writes the following Chiddush. Davka a Sefer Torah only, Davka, and I want you to stress this. Davka a Sefer Torah that a sofer cannot write neatly, are you able to write sirtut? Not by tefillin. And Tosfos writes this in Menachos as well, as we mentioned, that you never ever have sirtut on tefillin because people can't see it. And there's no fulfillment of Zekeh Levon Ve'u. Tosfos Menachos said there's never sirtut on tefillin anyway. No one can see it. So there's no mandate to write neatly. The Rabbeinu Tam says that whole mandate of writing neatly is only by a Sefer Torah. So if you hold, like we set up on Sunday, we mentioned the Tosfos, we mentioned a few minutes ago, that there's no concept of Zekeh Levon Ve'u by tefillin. Our Tosfos argues on that. But if you assume like the Tosfos Menachos, that there's no hiddur mitzvah at all by tefillin, then what? Then there's no mandate to write in every line. Even if he thinks it's not going to be neat. No one can see it anyway. So therefore, you can't tell me the Gemara Menachos is talking about a case of what? Is talking about a case where the guy needed to write it because it wasn't neat. Even if he doesn't know how to write it neatly, there's no mandate of sirtut on every line. That's the teretz that we want to give. So I want you to get that, Lamais. You see, you're right, it won't fit with our Tosfos. Won't fit with our Tosfos. But at least we have somewhat of an answer. At least we have somewhat of an answer, at least according to Tosfos and Menachos. And Lamais, and this could very well be, Lamais, the answer to what? To that kasha. Now, the truth is, it's not so poshut. Why do I say that? Let's get this. Because the tour in Siman Lamed Beis writes, not that way. In Siman Lamed Beis, which is the Siman on Tefillin, the tour writes, HaKosiv Tefillin Tov L'Sartei Kedei L'Yasher Aksav. He says, the tour doesn't agree with what we said. The tour says there is an Inyan to put it on every line in order to write the tefillin straight. And the Bach asked, aye, but it's against the Gemara. The Gemara Menachos says, tefillin is not misur tatim. The Gemara says that tefillin what? You don't scratch out. So it's very interesting. The Bach, and we said that in the Tosfos, the Gemara didn't give that answer, that it was scratched out. It's not scratched out. You don't scratch out. So what on earth is the Torah writing that there's a mandate to write it straight with ksav? Right? We just got through saying there's no such mandate. So I want you to get this. The Gemara in Menachos that says, and this is the Pshat Lamais, the Bach says, the Torah holds that if you're Mesartet Tefillin, it's Pasul LeMezuzah. If you're Mesartet Tefillin, it still can't be used for Mezuzah. Why not? Why not? Because the Sirtut was devoted for Tefillin. It wasn't for Mezuzah. And you need sirtut to be done l'shem mezuzah. Namely, the sheet of what? Sirtut's got to be done what? L'shma. So therefore, if that's the case, then we can answer the Tosfos. Our Tosfos says that Tiferes Yaakov and the Arzu de Beirav. Tosis holds beautifully that if tzirtut is tefillin, if you do tzirtut on tefillin because the sofer can't write properly, it's still pasul mezuzah because it wasn't done l'shem mezuzah. It wasn't done l'shem mezuzah. So it's mashma l'maisa. It wasn't done l'shem mezuzah. So maybe you could say such a pshat l'maisa. Again, what are we saying in the Miu? What do we say from the Tosis in the Miu? What was the whole point of the Miu? That the sofer, what? Should be able to write on every line to make it neat, right? So we said, oh, so that maybe that's the pshat in the Gemara. Maybe the Gemara's talking about a case where a sofer doesn't know how to write neatly. We asked on Tosis from the Gemara. We asked on the Gemara Menachos in Tosis. The whole kasha emerges again. Maybe the Gemara's talking about a case where the sofer wrote sirtut on every line in the tefillin. And he used that for the mezuzah. One teretz, as we said, according to Rabbeinu Tam, no, there is no mandate ever to write and assert to every line of tefillin because people can't see it. Fine, that's Tosis Menachos. That doesn't fit for our Tosis. Moreover, the Torah says there is a mandate to write. The Bach says it's against the Gemara. The answer is like this: even if you scratch everything for the tefillin, it's not going to be good for the mezuzah because it's got to be done lishma. And therefore, lamaisa, that's the pshat lamaisa. That if the sirtut is done for the tefillin, it cannot be used l'shem mezuzah. It cannot be used l'shem mezuzah. And therefore, if it cannot be used l'shem mezuzah, that answers the Gemara. You got what I'm saying? That answers the Gemara beautifully. You ask me, Chaim, how's it going to, it's not going to fit our Tosis. We just give an answer. Moshe, you follow what I'm saying? You follow what I'm saying? Why is it that you cannot use? Why does Tosis says write all the lines down? So it'll be neat. So if that's the case, maybe that's the Gemara Menachos case. He wrote all the lines down for the film, so it'll be converted to mezuzah. What's the answer? You need sirtut lishma. Since you need sirtut lishma and you wrote the sirtut l'shem tefillin, you cannot use it what? L'shem mezuzah. That's the chiddush. Now I want to point out to you, who was the sheet that we had yesterday that you need sirtut lishma? The Sefer Bnei Yonah. Excellent, Michael. The Torah is mashma, you don't need it to be lishma. The Torah is mashma, you don't need it to be lishma. And that's what Rav Zhulti writes in the beginning of the piece. The Torah in your day of Simon Reish Ayin Aleph writes black on white, Pashup Shot, that you do not need Sirtut Lishma. Do not. So I want you to get that down. So this is the answer we want to give. It's a very beautiful answer, I'll tell you, within the Tosis. But what's the problem with it? What's the problem with it? What's the problem with it? From the Lashon HaTosis, what did Tosis call you? There's no Regilus to do it. There's no regilus to do it. You'll be called a hedget. Mashma, if you did it, would it work? What would you say? Mashma, if you did it, would it work from Tosos? Yes. So I'm saying this answer really doesn't fit in well with the Tosos so well. Because the Lashon of the Tosos, Mashma, you're called a hedget if you did it. But if you did do it, it would work. So we're back to the Kasha, and I really don't have a full answer for it. Okay? Once you have this Miu Moshe that he can write it neatly and do it on every line, then maybe that's what the Gemara Menachos is talking about. The Gemara Menachos is talking about a case where you have tefillin that he wrote on every line and we'll convert it to mezuzah. Then maybe you could say, no, if it was done for tefillin, it's not good for mezuzah because it's lacking lishma. The sirtut's got to be done l'shem mezuzah. So my response to you is that is very difficult to say in the Lashon HaTosis because Tosis implies you're called a hedget. But if you did it, it's still kosher. Gemara calls you a hedget, Lamaisa. You know, he says you're ain regilus lasarte, because you'd be called a hedget. But if you did it, it's mashman, then it would work. Oh, okay. So let's just one sec, Chaim. I want to just get to this. This topic in general, please get it. The Torah comments, okay, in Hilchos Sefer Torah in Siman Reish Ayin Aleph, that a Sefer Torah requires sirtut and you don't need lishma. I just got through saying that to you, and we said the Sefer Bnei Yonah says you need. How do we masbid that machlekes, Michael? If it's a din in the sefer, if sirtut is a din in the sefer, then you need lishma. If it's a din in the hechsher ksiva, then you don't necessarily need what? Need to have it done lishma. Okay. I want to just point out the following, though. What did the Bach say in the tour? What did the Bach say in the tour? What did we just got through saying the Bach said in the tour? That what? That you need what? You need it to be lishma. But I just got through saying you the tour writes in Siman what? In Siman Reish Ayin Aleph, you don't need lishma. It's a stira. The Prima Gadim asks that the Bach is against the tour. How could the Bach in one place comment in the tour that you need to have lishma? Therefore, sirtut with tefillin is not good for the mezuzah. And here the tour turns around and says sirtut doesn't need lishma. Stira menei obey.
Yesterday.
screw gun says when you're in the bath, that the mezuzah needs sirtit for the shmo. The mezuzah needs sirtit for the shmo. That's fine.
But I'm saying within the I'm saying now, Alan, within the Bach. I'm saying the Bach is saying Lamais in the tour that the tour needs Sirtu Lishma. But you look in Simon Reisha and Avsev Torah, he says you don't need it, Lamais. You don't need it. So the answer is as follows, Lamais. Please get it. Maybe this is what you mean. Maybe this is what you mean, Alan. That the answer is as following. Please get it. There's a difference in Sefer Torah and Mezuzah. Sefer Torah needs Lamais. Sefer Torah needs Sirtut, but there's no Din Lishma. There's no Din Lishma by a Sefer Torah. Sirtut it needs, but it doesn't need Lishma, says the Tur. However, by Mezuzah, there is a halacha of Lishma by the Sirtut, because it's a halacha of Moshe Mesinai, it's a din in the cloth, and therefore you need Lishma. That's an answer maybe that we could suggest, says Reb Shmuel Rozovsky, to answer the Stira what? Answer the Stira in the what? In the Bach, in the Tur. Alan, I'm not sure what you were saying from yesterday, okay? You asked me afterwards, okay? But Lamaisa, this is the answer we want to give. Sirtut needs Lishma by Mezuzah. That's what the Bach is saying. He needed by Mezuzah. That's the answer that he wants to give. And therefore, if you did the Sirtut with Tefillin, it wouldn't be good. But Sirtut by, say, for Torah, doesn't need Lishma. That's the answer we want to give. So this whole discussion in the Taisvis works out good, but as we always say, you got to be intellectually honest. It doesn't seem to fit the Lashon HaTosfos. Because you can't tell me that Tosfos is calling it Pusul. He says you're called a Hedget. But if you did the Sirtut L'Tfilin, why not use it for the Mezuzah? Okay, you're called a Hedget. You're not supposed to do it, but it should work. We're giving an answer that no, it would be Pusul. It's a bit of a Chiddush. So we don't really have a full teretz to that kasha. But these are the chedushim we're pointing out from this Lashon HaTosfos. Okay. Now there's one more we didn't even get. I wanted to discuss land for peace, but we didn't have chance. Let's just finish up this Mahalach, okay? Tomorrow we'll have to finish up the Tosfos with the Briska Rav. I'll photocopy the Briska Rav for you, Blin Netter. The end of the Tosfos. Okay. This leads us to the following now. The bottom line is, by Sefer Torah, by a Sefer Torah, do you need Sirtut? We've discussed at great length. Mezuzah, that's the Feirush Gemara, Halacha Moshe Mesinai. Rashi added on a drush of Sefer. Ksiva b'Sefer. Okay. That's no doubt about it. Mezuzah needs. And when we get to the whole end of the Sugya, we'll summarize everything. So we'll get it 100%. But Mezuzah, we know b'Feirush. On the other polar, we discussed Tefillin at great length. Different shittas. Rabbeinu Tzam said the top line by us. Tosin Sota Kod Rabbeinu Tam saying the square. Okay. Rambam says you don't even need anything. That's by Tzum. What about by Sefer Torah itself? What about by Sefer Torah itself? Oh. So, Moshe, next line of the Tosis. Go ahead. Let's see inside. What's the Kasha? It says in Gemara and Megillah that a Megillah needs Sirtu. It says, Divrei Shalom V'emes, Ke'amita Shel Torah. What does Ke'amita Shel Torah mean? That a Megillah needs Sirtu because it's Ke'amita Shel Torah. What does Ke'amita Shel Torah mean? What is the Lashon of Ke'amita Shel Torah mean? Like the truth of Torah. Okay? Like the truth of Torah. What's he bothered by? What do you see from there? That what? What does it say? You tell me. What is Tosis bothered by when he's saying this? What did Tosis just get through saying? When it comes to a Sefer Torah, you don't need it, Mikra Adin. Isn't that Tosis Shita? Tefillin doesn't need? Maybe the top line. Sefer Torah doesn't need it as well. As you pointed out, Yitzi. Remember he put Sefer Torah and Tefillin together? Put them both together. It's against the Gemara. The Gemara says the Megillah needs Sefer because Amita Shel Torah. Isn't Amita Shel Torah referring to a Sefer Torah? That's a Tosis obviously assumed. That's a Tosis obviously assumed. Oh. So please get it. This is Tosis Kasha. Go ahead, Omer.
Omer, we're going to
talk. The Chain?
Period.
Says Rabbeinu Tam. That's not true. Amita Shel Torah means Mezuzah. A Megillah needs Sirtut like a Mezuzah needs Sirtut. Why is a Mezuzah called Amita Shel Torah?
Because it has all Malchus Shamayim. It has Yichud Malchus Shamayim. Even though it's striking, the Yisrael Bracha points out, even though Megillah Shem Hashem is never written in it, but it's considered to be required sirtut like mezuzah, it has a Shem Yichud. So what's the upshot? That according to Taisvus, a Sefer Torah does not need sirtut, just like a tefillin. Maybe the top line, or like Tyson saw before, but it doesn't need. Pashup Shad Sefer Torah doesn't need at all. Maybe it needs at best the one line on top, because he says a mitzvah Torah doesn't mean Torah, doesn't mean a Sefer Torah, it means a mezuzah. Okay? So Rabbeinu Tam sticks with his sheet to Lamaisa, amazing Chiddush, and he says, Beferish this halacha. He says this, Beferish this halacha, this is what he wants to say to Chiddush. Okay? This is the Chiddush that he wants to say. Now, the truth is, and this is what I want you to get, Rashi argues on this. Rashi in Megillah, believe it or not, says, what does Rashi say? What is Amito Shol Torah? It means what? A Torah, Sefer Torah. And Rashi in Megillah says a very remarkable comment. He says that there's a halacha l'moshe m'sinai out there that a Sefer Torah requires sirtut. You look all the shas, you won't find it. It says black on white, mezuzah needs sirtut. Halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Never says Sefer Torah. Rashi says it. So we already had even earlier in Shir today, the beginning of Shir. It's very interesting that the Rishonim are grappling halacha l'moshe m'sinai, halacha l'moshe m'sinai. What did we say? Remember what said Taisa said in Salta? That there was a halacha l'moshe m'sinai and that it's usher to be started from. Man says, where'd you get this halacha l'moshe m'sinai? This is another example of that. Rashi here in Megillah says an amazing thing. He says there's a halacha l'moshe m'sinai that Sefer Torah needs sirtu. There's no, we don't have the Gemara like that. Rashi says there is. Our Tosas denies it. Not only does he argue there's no halacha l'moshe m'sinai, he says it's wrong. Rashi reads the lashon kamita shel Torah and says an amazing chiddush. He says kamita shel Torah kesefer Torah atzmo sirtut halacha l'moshe m'sinai. What? How could this be? So Rabbi Kiveger says, look in Taisim Menachos, the amazing chiddush. So please get this down. It's a machlokes. Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam does that sefer Torah requires sirtut. Rashi says yes, halacha l'moshe m'sinai says there's no such gemara. I kamita shel Torah is referring to mezuzah. It's referring to mezuzah. Oh, so that's the chiddush l'maisa. Now, what's the story with the Rambam? I gave you three Rambams this morning. What does the Rambam say in all three places? Who does the Rambam hold like? Does it say for Torah needs sirtut? Yes or no? Yes, like Rashi. Get it down against the Rabbeinu Tam. Yes. Question is, according to Rashi, do Shar Kisvei HaKodesh need sirtu? So that's what Zevi, you're asking me this morning. The Ramban, the Ritva, and the Chush Yaran say, Lefi Rashi, you will need it. So if you will need sirtu by Shar Kisvei HaKodesh, why is there a special limud by Megillah? Why is there a special limud by Megillah? Why do you need a special limud by Megillah to tell me there's sirtu? If Rashi require Kol Kisvei HaKodesh required sirtu, why do you need a special din by Megillah? Because Megillah is called what? An Igaret. There's a special kula by Megillah called an Igeret. So I would have thought that if it's called an Igeret, you wouldn't need sirtu. Kamashmlan, you need sirtu. However, let's get this. The Rashba writes in Meseches Gittin by us on Davovim and Beis, okay? That in Rashi, that only a Sefer Torah is halacha l'moshe m'sinai, you need sirtu in every line like mezuzah. Shar Kisvei HaKodesh, all you need is just Midin Reb Yitzchok. And therefore, the din of Rabbi Yitzchok, as you pointed out very astutely this morning, Michael, what's the din of Rabbi Yitzchok? That every three words you need sirtut, bless you? It's because of neatness. It's because of neatness. So Rashi will say, according to the Rashba, only a Sefer Torah requires sirtut on every line, like mezuzah on every line, but Shar Kisvei HaKodesh, all you need is din of Rabbi Yitzchok, that it's neat. So if you had it on top, like the Mishnah Berurah you pointed out, you'd be able to write, then it would be fine. So I want you to get it. It's a machlekes and Rishonim within Rashi. That Rashi requires sirtu, not just by mezuzah, but also by Sefer Torah. Does he require it by Shar Kisvei HaKodesh? Ritva, Ramban, and Rishonim say yes. Rashi says only by Sefer Torah and mezuzah. The other Shar Kisvei HaKodesh
It's just to write neatly, midin Rabbi Yitzchok, and whatever you need, you'll have to what write in order to ensure that you write it neatly. So we have a very important machlekes l'maisa, very important machlekes regarding this din. And just let's just close with, I want to discuss this land for peace, so we'll have to do it another time, because we started a little bit last week. Please chazer over. One last point is interesting, halach l'maisa, very interesting. And this is interesting. Let me ask you, by a Megillah, when we do Sirtut, and we'll close with this. By a Megillah, when we do Sirtut, let me ask you, what is the notion of it being called a Sefer? Tell me. What is the Chiddush that it's going to be called a Sefer? Because what is the din, Lamaisa? Rashi and the Rambam say that a Sefer Torah needs Sirtut. And Tosis asks, but the Gemara says, Divrei Shalom ve'emes kamito shel Torah. If a Sefer Torah needs Sirtut, why can't you just learn it out from the din of Sefer, from the din of what? Sefer Torah. You follow what I'm asking? Again, the Gemara writes in Megillah on Daf Yutes, please get it, Yutes Amanav, Megillus Esther, that sewed with Chute Pishtun, is Pusul. Why? We equate many of the halakhas of Sefer Torah to Megillah. If you have a Megillah, let's just get down, that you wrote with Pishtun, you sewed them up with Pishtun, you know, the sinews, you did it with Chute Pishtun, it's Pusul. Just like a Sefer Torah is Pusul. We equate a Sefer Torah with Megillah. If you equate a Sefer Torah and Megillah, it's called Sefer. Why do you have to say that a Megillah needs Sirtut based on Amitos Shel Torah? Just equate the din. If you hold like Rashi and Rambam, that a Sefer Torah requires Sirtut, so a Megillah requires Sirtut. Sefer. Why do you have to stand on your head and come up with a whole new pshat on Amitos Shel Torah? Who asked this kasha? Taisim in office. Ask this kasha. You know what the answer is? The answer is I'll tell you. Because you need Sirtut by Megillah for two reasons. What are the two reasons, Michael? Hechsher Ksiva. And also because it's called a Sefer. You need it for two reasons. So it would come out to be a very, very interesting Chiddush, Lamaisa. Very interesting Chiddush. And the Chiddush would be, the Chiddush would come out, Lamaisa, in the following din, Lamaisa. It could very well be that maybe, it's interesting, that when you write a Megillah, we'll close with this point, when you write a Megillah, when you do the Sirtut before you write, please get it, would it have to be permanent Sirtut or not? What would you say? The Sirtut that you do before you write the Megillah, would it have to be permanent Sirtut? No, it's a din in the Hechsher Ksiva, as long as you're able to write it well. But when you finish the Sirtut, when you finish the writing, would you have to do a Sirtut that would be permanent? Yes, midin what? Midin what? Because it's called a Chalosh Shem Sefer. Excellent. Because it's called Amita Shel Torah tells me that it's a din in the Hechsher Ksiva. So I'll do the Sirtut before, not permanent. But I need to have a Sirtut that would be permanent, and I could do that even after the Megillah based on the din called Sefer. Because it's equated to a Sefer Torah. So that would be the Chiddush that we want to suggest by Megillah. Okay, we'll stop here. Yechazer over tomorrow, but we'll finish the Tosfos with the Brisker Rav.